Good evening. It's good to see everybody out tonight. We took a little bit of a break this morning from our You Shall Be My Witnesses series of lesson that we were doing, and talked about the yearly series this morning about crying out to the Lord. And so tonight we are going to get back to the witness series and discuss a man named Barnabas, who was a witness to witnesses. And I'll explain that as we move forward. So what we've learned so far in the series, and again, if you haven't been here, these are each meant to be standalone lessons, and so you haven't, truly don't feel like you're going to be out of the loop here. But just quickly, what we've learned so far is just an introduction to what witnessing is and how, you know, sometimes we're afraid of that word because of the way that the religious world uses it today. But we understand that that's not really a witness. A witness is not somebody who tells their own story and sneaks Jesus in there a little bit, but somebody who tells Jesus' story is a witness for Jesus. And so we talked about what it means to be a witness. We looked at Stephen being somebody who was able to continue to witness through persecution. That it didn't matter what station in life he was at, he was actually being persecuted to the point of death, but yet was still witnessing about God's Son. We looked at Peter opening doors to witnessing to people that the Jews especially wouldn't have wanted people to witness to. They didn't want people to know about Jesus, but Peter opened those doors, obviously through the dream that God had given him. And he opened that door to the Gentiles. And we talked about ourselves as how often do we stop from talking to somebody because we think, well, they're not going to accept it. And so we put a limitation on God's word. And then Paul, we looked at, was kind of a witness to everybody, right? Doesn't matter if it was Jew or Gentile, and he did a lot of work with the Gentiles for sure, but it didn't matter who it was. Paul was going to be a witness to every person that he came into contact with. Now, how do we normally think, or what do we normally think about evangelism or about witnessing in general? Well, typically, I would think that we think about the people that we talked about last week. We think about Peter in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, witnessing, right, as well as the other apostles, witnessing to that large group of Jews, the people that crucified Jesus. And he's telling Jesus' story to them and letting them know that they crucified the Son of God. We think about Paul in Athens at Acts chapter 17, and how he was witnessing to those people who had multiple gods, and he was telling them about the one true God. But what I want to focus on tonight, this man named Barnabas, we can also witness to one another. We can build one another up in our faith as individuals. And when we do that, it strengthens the church as a whole. When we witness to one another, when we tell Jesus' story to one another, and that can happen in many ways. I want to talk about this man named Barnabas, who was a witness to his brothers and sisters in Christ. He wasn't necessarily taking the gospel to somebody new. These people were already Christians. But yet Barnabas witnessed to them in maybe we call it a more perfect way, showing them what it meant to be a witness for God and for Jesus Christ. So I just want to talk about three ways in which Barnabas witnessed to his brothers and sisters in Christ. First of all, he witnessed to his brothers and sisters in Christ by giving. We looked at Acts chapter 4. I want to go back to Acts chapter 4 and just look at verses 36 and 37. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So what are the circumstances that are going on in Acts chapter 4 right now? Well, there's a lot of people that had come to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. Right? We know this is one of the three times that God required all male Jews 20 years and older to come to Jerusalem to celebrate during the year. And this was one of those times. And so there's a lot of people in Jerusalem. Most of the time, the men wouldn't travel by themselves. They would travel with their whole family. Now, sometimes if the little kids, they might stay back. But once they became a certain age, you know, 10, 11, 12, they typically, the whole family would go to Jerusalem. So there's a lot of people in Jerusalem at this point in time. And then we find many of them became Christians and stayed. So now all of a sudden we have more people in Jerusalem. People who packed to stay for maybe a few days or a few weeks of travel and being in Jerusalem and then you know, maybe a few days back to wherever it was that they were going. Now realize that they're running out of money. They're running out of items that they had brought with them to stay on the trip because they're staying and they're learning about what it means to be a Christian. And so there's this gap here. Well, we need to stay and we need to learn, but we don't have enough supplies. At some point, we're going to have to go back home. And my guess is they're getting to this point right now in Acts chapter 4. And all of a sudden, Joseph says, hold on. I've got this tract of land that I'm not using or I don't need. And I'll just sell it. I'll give the money to the apostles and they can distribute it to whoever would have a need at this moment in time. Because I don't need that tract of land. And so imagine him becoming this comfort to them. In fact, the apostles give him this nickname, Son of Encouragement. You realize this is the first and only time that we see his real name. From this point in time in Scripture, all we know him by is by his nickname. Funny story, a friend of mine, this is an old story because I believe his grandfather who told us the story is 87 now. So this happened quite a while ago. But there was a group of men traveling, and Barnesville is notorious for nicknames. And everybody seems in Barnesville, everybody has a nickname, and there was a car accident. And so the reason this story comes to mind is because one of the characters in that story has recently passed away. And so we get to this officer who is talking to these gentlemen about what happened in the car. And the man in the back seat, he says, what happened? Who was driving? Where were people sitting? And he said, oh, Mousy was driving and Hammer was in the front seat. And the officer says, whoa, 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 whoa. I need their real names. And the guy says, I don't know their real names. Well, how long have you known these people? I've known them almost my whole life, but I don't know what their real names are. He said, well, you're going to have to find out because I need real names. You can't, I'm not going to, you know, accept their nicknames in this police report. And so we can imagine, you know, knowing that his name is Joseph, maybe you didn't even know Barnabas' name was Joseph. But now we do. He's called his nickname throughout the rest of the New Testament because he was a son of encouragement. He encouraged his brothers and sisters in Christ so much that this became his name, what he was recognized by. He sold this tract of land and he gave the proceeds away. Understand that not everybody would be so willing to do that. Because what happens as we move from Acts chapter 4 in verse 37, what happens when we move to Acts chapter 5 in verse 1? But, right? So there's going to be a contrast here. We just heard the account of this man named Barnabas selling his tract of land and giving it and laying it at the apostles' feet. He was called the son of encouragement by the apostles. It seems like, you know, people were really impressed by what he did. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. Hey, good for you, right? And kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain in your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. As he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all those who heard it. And again, they buried him. His wife comes. They do the same to her. They wanted to be like Barnabas, but not really. And all Peter was trying to say was, you didn't have to sell your land. Or you could have sold it and said, you know what, we sold it, but here's half of it. We're going to keep half of it. It was yours. You didn't have to give all like Barnabas did. But do you see what kind of effect Barnabas had on this group of people? That other people would say, you know what, I want to be like Barnabas. But not quite. Not all the way. I can't give all of it, but I want to be at least a little bit like Barnabas. It didn't work out very well for Ananias and Sapphira, but you cannot deny that they were influenced by Barnabas, weren't they? This is a good man that we're talking about. Wouldn't that have encouraged you if you were one of those members that came from a great distance and were staying in Jerusalem and realizing, I'm running out of food, I'm running out of clothes, I'm going to have to go back very soon, but I want to stay and learn more about Christianity. I want to stay and learn more about this man who died for me. And to have this man step up and say, listen, I'll take care of it. You don't have to go anywhere. We'll take care of it. And really, he's not seeking credit for himself. But he is being a good example. And he witnessed to his brothers and sisters in Christ simply by giving. Giving what he had. Not keeping it for himself. But being willing to share with others. He also witnessed by greeting his brothers and sisters in Christ. All of them. Look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 26. It says, when he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples. This is speaking of Saul, or Paul, as we know him now. But they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and how he had talked to him and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. So we've already looked at the account of Saul, or of Paul, as again we know him at this point in his life. We've already looked at that account. We already know how vital to the growth of the church that Paul was, don't we? He witnessed to everyone. Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, barbarians. He witnessed to everybody. Now imagine if we just pulled Paul out of the New Testament. Realize there wouldn't be much of it left. If we take out all the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, and you know, again, even leaving Hebrews in there, whether he wrote it or not, just leave it in there. We pull out everything else that Paul wrote, we're really diminishing. Everything that Paul did, you're cutting the book of Acts in half, at least, if Paul is not there. Now, I realize you may say, Tony, but if it wasn't Paul, you know, you say this all the time. If I wasn't here, Mark would be preaching tonight. The church wouldn't say, well, Tony's not going to be able to make it, so we're going to just cancel services. No, that wouldn't happen. Somebody will be, I know I'm replaceable. It's one of the great and bad things about being a preacher. You're very replaceable. Because anybody who can read Scripture and is willing can do that. Somebody would be up here. We know that Paul would be replaced. Somebody else would have done it. But just imagine for a moment that we pull Paul's accounts out of here. Think about this. How often have we been an active discouragement to a brother or sister in Christ? Active discouragement. That's what these men were to Paul. he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Can you imagine how discouraged Paul was at this early part of his life? I heard somebody say once, there was a young lady that came forward, and she had a lot of struggles in her life. It wasn't said to me, but I heard it. She'll just be back again next week, meaning back up front, confessing another sin. Thankfully, she was not there to hear it. But what a discouragement. What a discouragement to have that attitude, to have that thought in your mind. That wasn't what Barnabas was all about. What if Barnabas hadn't been there in this moment? He not only greeted Paul, he not only came over to Paul and greeted him and put his arm around him, but he wanted other people to greet him as well. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles. You're coming with me. I'm going to introduce you to the apostles and I'm going to tell them what you've done. What an encouragement, what an uplifting moment that this has to be for Paul. Barnabas took hold of him, brought him to the apostles, and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. Don't discount this man. I've seen him do great things at such a young Christian age. Understand that this is the mission of the church. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That is the goal of the church. This is why Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. In Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20, when Jesus is giving the Great Commission, and Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of just the Jews. That's not what he says. Go there and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Paul witnessed to his brothers and sisters in Christ, not just on this occasion, but others as well, by greeting them, by making them feel welcome when they came to wherever he was. How much of an encouragement are we to our brothers and sisters in Christ? And how often do we become an active discouragement to them? I hope the latter is never the case. Finally tonight, we see that Barnabas witnessed to his brothers and sisters in Christ by going. We see in Matthew chapter 28 that great commission. Jesus came and spoke to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. He witnessed to his brothers and sisters in Christ by going. In Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 22, it says, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. When he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with a resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And all the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Then we move to Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now there were at Antioch in the church there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lysias of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And I ask, why do you think Barnabas was sent in both of these cases? Whether to Antioch or from Antioch to go and establish churches all throughout the known world at the time? I believe one of the reasons that he was sent was because they knew he would go. They weren't going to have to fight. He was somebody who went and he volunteered. And when they sent him, they knew he was going to be somebody that was going to encourage everybody that he came into contact with. They wouldn't want to send somebody that was going to go around discouraging people all the time. They wouldn't want him to send one of those Jews in Jerusalem that was, you know, trying to keep the Gentiles out. They wouldn't have wanted to send somebody like that. No, send somebody that you know is going to go and that they're going to encourage people when they get there. I believe that that's part of the reason, at least, why he was sent. Now, think about the impact that Barnabas had throughout the known world at the time. I believe Barnabas is one of the most underrated Bible characters in all of Scripture. Now, we talk a lot about Saul. We talk a lot about Paul. But I don't know how much Paul there would be without Barnabas. You see on the list when the Holy Spirit said, set apart, did he say Paul and Barnabas? Or Saul and Barnabas? No, he did not. He said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. This is an important man, though we don't think of him in that way. We don't think of him maybe on the level of Paul or the level of Peter. Here is somebody who encouraged others to do very, very great things. I don't think that there's any doubt why the church was called Christians First at Antioch. I believe they were being the most like Christ at that place. The most inclusive, the most encouraging to their brothers and sisters in Christ. And I believe Barnabas was a huge, huge part of that. He was sent because they knew he would go. Do people know that about us? Do the elders know that you'll go? Are we volunteering for things? If there's anything that needs done, you let me know. When somebody's giving announcements, that's the best thing. There's been people at every place that I've ever preached. There's a handful of those people that every week will come up and say, hey, if you need somebody to fill in, you just let me know. That's great. Because most of the time you're scrambling and you go up to somebody and you say, hey, Mark, you want to fill in for singing? I just led singing last week. Maybe somebody else will do it. Yes. I'll volunteer. I'll do it. Be a Barnabas. Encourage. That's an encouragement. Encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe he is a huge part of the growth of the early church, though we don't think about him maybe in the same way that we do Paul or Peter. He was a huge, huge part of that. Barnabas is one of my favorite characters in all of Scripture. And I don't mean to say character like it's a story. These are historical accounts. And he is one of my favorite people in God's Word. Why? Because I need to be more like him. I want to be more like him. I want to be an encouragement to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't often end on a bad note, but I believe wholeheartedly that it's probably Barnabas's worst moment in Scripture that teaches us the most about who he is. Look with me at Galatians chapter 2. Just to set the scene, this is where Paul says he has to confront Peter to his face because Peter was standing condemned. Because prior to the coming of James, he was eating, associating with the Gentiles. But when the people, when the group of the circumcision, when the Jews came, Peter distanced himself from the rest of the people and just started, you know, eating and associating with the Jewish people. And so Paul was going to confront him about this. He says, Peter stands condemned. Now, I want you to notice the phrasing here. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy. Speaking of Peter, this phrase, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. This is his worst moment in Scripture, no doubt. But I believe it tells us a lot about who he was as a person. Because Paul wasn't necessarily shocked that Peter did this. He said he stood condemned. He was acting like a hypocrite. So he needed confronted. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy. Wasn't a shock to Paul. What was a shock to Paul? That even Barnabas, the last person on the face of the earth that would be carried away, was carried away by their hypocrisy. You see, almost, and he doesn't, but he almost, I believe he wants to give Barnabas a pass on this. With the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. He wasn't, that's not on Barnabas. That's on everybody else that drug him away. Now we know Barnabas is responsible for his own actions, but just in his wording, it's almost like Paul wanted to give Barnabas a pass because of who Barnabas was. So it is in his worst moment that we kind of look at him and say, this is how important he was. This is what his brothers and sisters in Christ thought about him. This was a good man. A man that was full of faith. We know he went about much in the same way that Paul did, preaching and teaching. But for the most part, he is known as an encourager of his brothers and sisters in Christ. We can witness in that way. It doesn't necessarily have to be that we're, you know, out knocking on somebody's door that we don't know and teaching them the gospel. There's certainly a place for that. But we can be a witness in simple ways. In the simple way of just encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ to do more and to do better. I think if you would ask Paul, if we were able to ask him, Paul would say, my success, a lot of that was credited to Barnabas. Obviously, God gets all the glory, but he was invaluable to Paul. Can you imagine having somebody to encourage you all the time? That's why I don't know if you're a boxing fan or not, but do you know boxers sometimes will hire what's called a hype man? Do you know what the hype man's job is? You see him all the time. If you ever watch somebody walk into a boxing match, you see that entourage that's following behind them. Yeah, the hype man is typically the guy right behind him, you know, rubbing his shoulders, and he's just telling, you're the man, right? You are going to kill it tonight. You know, this guy doesn't stand a chance, and he is just encouraging and encouraging and encouraging him. That's Barnabas. I know maybe that's not an apples to apples comparison there. But that's Barnabas for Paul. Barnabas was Paul's hype man. He was there to encourage him to do more, to do better. Can you imagine Saul when he gets to Jerusalem and nobody wants to talk to him? And if Barnabas is not there and they say, just get out of here. We don't want to associate with you. Can you imagine how discouraged he would be? But no, Barnabas said, I'm not going to let that happen. This man is doing a good work and I'm going to encourage him in that. Let's be as much like Barnabas as we can. I know personally, I've said it for years, I have my own personal Barnabas in Jamie Helmick. Anytime I have issues, anytime I have struggles, I know, spiritually speaking, I can go to him and he's going to encourage me. Let's be that for other people. Let's do that for other people in the way that Barnabas did. He doesn't get a lot of credit, but he didn't need it either, nor did he probably want it. God always gets the glory, but we can certainly help. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, there is no way to be a Barnabas unless we become a child of God. Being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, as we looked at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, as Jesus sent the Great Commission. If you are here and you are a child of God and maybe haven't been the encouragement to others that you need to be, or maybe have been a discouragement over the years to some, we have time and opportunity to make that right tonight. If you're here tonight and subject to God's invitation in any way, please come to one of the front seats while we stand and while we sing.